Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David, let me get this story out of the way. I printed this up a couple of days ago. The Bozeman bag ban comes up short. That's just too sad. Sorry to hear about that. So the liberals in Bozeman wanted to ban plastic bags and other sorts of things, and they came up short. So they failed to meet their target.
Well, good, because usually those plastic bag bans and single-use plastic bags actually backfire and actually result in more trash, because then people go to the grocery store and you forget your little cloth bag, and so then you have to buy a new cloth bag, and then you end up throwing that one away. So now instead of throwing out these cheap, like really, really quick and easy to make plastic bag, now you're throwing out the full-blown, you know, cloth bags and reusing, and you can't reuse those because you never forget. So then you actually end up causing more trash and more environmental degradation with those types of policies.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Bozeman bag ban comes up short. A story by Ruth Eddy for Yellowstone Public Radio. I remember when Devin Brosnan first did a write-up that we had on our Montana Talks website, and man, you know how when you're doing the show and you think that everybody's going to want to talk about these three or four things? And then, like, everybody wants to talk about this other thing. The plastic bag ban in Bozeman is what everybody wanted to talk about that day. I mentioned it on the radio once, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 message, phone call, phone call, phone call. But basically, when I mentioned this story on the radio that these Bozeman liberals were trying to ban plastic bags and other plastics, several of our listeners asked the question, why the same environmentalists who wanted to ban paper bags are now wanting to ban plastic. So, you know, trees are a renewable resource. You know, they grow back. And these people, oh, no, we've got to ban paper bags. And then now they're like, and then that got replaced with plastic. And now they're like, we got to ban plastic bags. And
well, the whole premise behind the thing is so stupid, because in the United States of America, we actually have a thing called a garbage collection service. We have these things called landfills where we appropriately take care of our trash and it doesn't end up in the ocean and it doesn't end up in the environment. You realize 90% plus of all of the plastic in the ocean comes from 10 rivers in Africa and Asia. And so you liberals over there in Bozeman, if you really care about the environment, if you really care about plastics in the ocean, focus on the 10 rivers in Africa and Asia. Quit trying to make our lives more difficult and trying to reduce the quality of our lives by getting rid of our plastic straws so we're drinking out of some paper straw that dissolves in your mouth and you're left like wondering if you just ate paper.
Which Kamala Harris, by the way,
admitted
that she supports, you know, banning plastic straws, but then she even admitted like how bad these paper straws are.
Right.
This was funny. I think I was in Bozeman and getting a cup of coffee, and there was a dude there. You know how, I think he had an iced coffee, and you know how, like, they got rid of the plastic straws, but then they got these plastic lids with the lip on it that use four times more plastic, I think, than the plastic straw.
Right. This thicker plastic.
This dude had the big plastic lid with the big plastic lip and shoved a plastic straw down the middle of it. I was like, oh, I think you're missing the point here, bro, but that's all right. You do you. That's America.
That's how it always works. People end up using even more plastic with these dumb policies.
And then the windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws. There's that other side note as well. All right, back after this with the woke update.
Military matters.
Ever since Ukraine launched its offensive into Russia, the Pentagon has refused to publicly support it. It's the first time Ukraine's forces have entered Russia since Putin launched his full-scale invasion. Pentagon officials have long been wary about raising tensions with Russia. Deputy Press Secretary Subrata Singh recently told reporters the U.S. military is still assessing the situation.
We're still trying to learn more about it. We're still trying to learn more about what their objectives are.
Ukraine has been so successful in Russia's Kursk region that Putin has been forced to pull troops out of eastern Ukraine. Here's Major General Pat Ryder, the Pentagon's top spokesman.
We have seen indications of Russia moving, a small number of forces into Kursk, the Kursk region, to respond. I would say, generally speaking, though, Russia has really struggled to respond.
Ukraine's President Zelensky said the goal of the operation is to create a buffer zone to help with future negotiations with Russia. At the Pentagon, for Military Matters, Liz Frieden, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-80s in Bozeman to near 90 in the Billings area. Clear and quiet tonight. Lows from the mid-50s in Bozeman, about 60 in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine on the way to the upper 80s in Bozeman with highs into the mid-90s in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. Matt in Billings sent this. Hey, Aaron, UNFI, formerly Super Value, is closing. Bidenomics, around 50 hardworking people out of work. That came from Matt in Billings. Evan in Belt, David, this is a great message here. Evan in Belt, he's an Air Force veteran. Oh, you're taping. Is this for your YouTube page here?
Yeah, I did ask permission.
Hey, yeah, you got it. No, that's good. So, all right, you guys will like this. We just got a message on our Montana Talks app. This is from Evan in Belt. He's an Air Force veteran. He's talking about Tim Walz, Mr. Stolen Valor, Tim Walz. He says, Tim Walz, UPOS. There were six of us in my high school graduation class. Three of us went into the armed forces, and none of us stole valor. That's, of course, in reference to, you know, David, as we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour, where Tim Walz was attacking J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate, for basically coming up out of poverty and then making it into Yale Law School. And he was attacking him for going to Yale. And
bizarre.
It's just crazy. Weird. Yeah. And Tim Walz lied about serving in combat, lied about serving in places like Iraq, whereas J.D. Vance actually deployed with his men to Iraq. And Walz just lies about it.
Yeah. First of all, one of the things I really, really respect about Tim Sheehy is he never brags about his incredible accomplishments and feats while he was serving as United States Navy. He's never bragged about it once. He is incredibly humble about it. He has never, you think of a normal person, if they've got a Bronze Star for Valor for what he did, and you're running for U.S. Senate, and you're running against John Tester, I would think that somebody would be telling that story every time they give a speech, because it says so much about his courage, his integrity, the ability for him to overcome his own bodily desires to put his own life in danger to try to save his fellow soldier. But he never does that because he's too good of a man. And so the media will not report what Tim Sheehy did for that. And so I've taken it upon myself. I know you've read it on the air. I printed off a bunch of the citations in color, and I've been handing them out. I've been asking people, hey, can I have 2 minutes? I want to read this to you. And so it's just incredible. And then some people, and then you show these new polls, and I think you were going to talk about the new Rasmussen poll we've got here, here in Montana. But you talk about some of this stuff, and then the Democrats' comeback is, oh, well, why should we care about that? What does that tell me about how good of a U.S. senator? And I'm like, oh, you don't care about the integrity of your U.S. senator? You don't care about the character of your U.S. senator? You don't care about the ability of your U.S. senator to sacrifice his own body and his own life for the betterment of another man? Huh, that doesn't matter for a U.S. senator?
Here it is right here. Here is the Bronze Star Medal with Combat V awarded to Lieutenant Timothy P. Sheehy, United States Navy. Here is the citation from, what do you Navy guys call it? The CNO, is that what you Navy guys call the Chief of Naval Operations? I'm an Army veteran myself, but yeah, CNO is Chief of Naval Operations. Read this citation. David's done it. He's got his on his lecture fan, X account and much more. But you're right. This was my rant at the top of the 6 o'clock hour this morning, is the political media in Montana doesn't want you to see this, doesn't want you to read this, doesn't want you to hear this.
And they don't want us to know about a lot of other stuff that's in this letter from Tim Sheehy as well, including all of the other business. People act like, oh, Bridger Aerospace is the only business he's ever. No, actually, Tim Sheehy started a lot of businesses, and he's got a lot of policy positions that are right in line with everything we believe in Montana. So the media is not telling us about that. They're not telling us about stuff in here.
Well, the other thing I pointed out, I think it was a couple of days ago, he was back in the air again. He's still fighting to defend this country. You know, he fought to defend this country as a Navy SEAL. He's still defending this country as an aerial firefighter, you know, diving down, scooping up water with this airplane, and then diving right over top of flames to put the flames out, to defend our public lands, to defend homes, you name it.
So literally, he's literally still putting his own life in danger to do good by the people of Montana and the people of the United States of America. That, to me, says a lot.
In the middle of the most important Senate race in the entire country.
Also, and he doesn't need the job. He doesn't need to be doing that for money.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already done it, but he still serves as a reserve firefighter, so if they need people to go pilot these aircraft, he's ready and willing, and he's doing it. And, David, can you imagine if he was a Democrat candidate?
Oh, my goodness.
They would be slobbering over this. They would have, you know, the Today Show would have a helicopter with multiple film crews, you know, showing his airplane. Somebody would be sitting in jump seat as he's flying over the flames, right? And then they would show his beautiful kids and everything.
Right.
The political media in Montana, and even the national political media, they do not want you to see him fighting the fires, dive bombing over these flames. They don't want you to see that, because that shows you how in the back pocket they are for the Democrats in this fake, phony, flip-flop, flat-top John Tester.
And that's why Tim Sheehy's running a grassroots campaign. And that's why I am helping him with his grassroots campaign by literally going to my neighbors, to my family, to my coworkers at the office. And Tim Sheehy mentions in this letter that I made a YouTube video about this letter from Tim Sheehy, if folks want to check it out on Lecture Fan on YouTube. But he mentions in here, John Tester and Chuck Schumer have already spent $60 million in attack ads against Sheehy, and they're going to spend another $60 million against him. That's $120 million in attack ads against Tim Sheehy. And what we're going to – and Tim Sheehy, we don't have that kind of money on the left because we don't have the George Soroses that are funding it.
On the right,
and so
yeah.
What we have to do – we have to run a grassroots campaign, and we're running one.
And what's crazy – what was it? Rasmussen reports. Was that the poll that just came out?
Yeah.
Shows Tim Sheehy up 7 points. So apparently Montanans aren't falling for their BS, are they?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The agriculture sectors in both Canada and the United States will be grappling with significant disruptions following a rail shutdown that occurred in the early morning hours of this Thursday, August 22nd, in Canada. The shutdown, stemming from a critical labor dispute between major rail companies and unions, has far-reaching impacts for both the U.S. and Canadian economies. A coalition of agriculture groups sent a letter to both President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on the issue. One of the groups signing on to the letter included the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch expands on U.S. exports to Canada last year.
We exported $28.2 billion of ag products into Canada, and that made Canada number three. In the same year, we imported $40 billion of Canadian agriculture products into the United States and import quite a bit of inputs such as fertilizer, and that makes them second, just behind Mexico. By value, most of the Canadian agriculture products do move by truck, but when we talk about cereal grains, corn, barley, oats, things like that, a lot of those products move on rail into Canada.
Despite mounting pressure across North America, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's administration has so far refused to step in. As the rail shutdown continues, groups say it highlights the vulnerability of the interconnected U.S. and Canadian economies to such disruptions. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David, did we even talk about this story on air yet? Did we talk about how RFK Jr., they're saying that he may end up dropping out of the presidential? Well, that seems a foregone conclusion that he's going to drop out of the presidential race. But it's sounding like he may possibly team up with President Trump here. He certainly should. Who knows, though? We'll see, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not a big RFK Jr. fan because of his policy positions. I mean, he's a big global warming nut, a big, big, big man-made global warming nut. Has a lot of other sort of leftist sort of I mean, he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. He's a leftist. You know,
far left on a lot of issues. At least he stood up to the COVID vax nonsense, right?
Yeah. Right. So I would love for him to drop out and endorse Trump, but I also don't think that he's taking votes from Trump. I think he's taking, you know, and RFK Jr.'s running mate was saying that they're taking votes from Trump. I'm like, no, you're not. I mean, you're a Democrat. He ran as a Democrat. Why would he take vote? No, I think a lot of Democrats would vote for him because they don't like Kamala because she's so bad.
So crazy, so wacko. Yeah. Well, let's go into the phone lines here. We've got Tim in Billings. Tim, what's your thoughts about RFK, et cetera?
Morning, gentlemen. I kind of knew I'd get David a little stirred up on this because I know he's not a fan of RFK and his policies, and I'm not necessarily either. I think there's about two issues that he and I would see eye to eye on. However, the idea I'm seeing floated around out there is that Trump takes RFK, once he gets nominated, takes RFK and puts him in charge of the CIA. And then let's see what happens with those JFK files. Let's see what happens with all the clandestine BS that the CIA classifies because we bought, you know, six boxes of paper clips instead of five, and we're going to classify that information because we're the CIA, and we don't do anything with letting anybody know. And then let's have General Flynn in charge of all of the intel agencies. And then I think that would be interesting to see what happens at the CIA. And then if RFK, you know, starts going off the rails, you know, send him down the road. You know, Trump's still the boss, but
Oh, man, that would be wild. David, could you imagine if he put RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in charge of the CIA? Because RFK, if I remember right, he believes that the head of the CIA at the time was responsible for the assassination attempt on his father. And is it also JFK? Does he believe that as well?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's a realistic possibility. And I love Tim, and a huge shout out to Tim for joining my Twitch stream. He'll come hang out on Twitch and we'll talk on Twitch, which is why he knows that I'm not a big fan of RFK Jr. I think RFK Jr.'s got a number of skeletons in his closet, some that we don't even know about, and he'll always say that,
grizzly.
Hey, I was never a choir boy.
It's a grizzly bear skeleton in his closet that he left in Central Park.
Yeah, that one is a weird story. I mean, he's never getting confirmed by the U.S. Senate for any of those positions.
Well, not and frankly, happening. Why don't we put grizzlies in Central Park? Why don't we put wolves in Central
Park?
Well,
we're having to deal with grizzlies in our towns and in our cities and stuff here in Montana because the Democrats in D.C. won't delist them. So, yeah.
They love them so much. Well, why don't they take them then, right?
Right.
By the way, the DNC, did you notice how the Montana Democrats, they got trapped behind the wall?
Yes.
They couldn't make it into their own convention because of their own crazy, deranged pro-Hamas protesters.
Yes.
I joked that it was like Jurassic Park. They got stuck behind the fence, behind the wall with the very monsters they've created. Get us out of here.
Right.
Get us out of here.
Demanding a ceasefire from Israel before Hamas has been killed and before we get the hostages back. That's a despicable policy position that they have.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned your Twitch TV, at LectureFan on Twitch TV. So David, during the Trump rally, was live streaming the entire thing, and it was fun. There was one point you said somebody was saying hello. They were listening in from the Summit Cigar Lounge in Billings.
That's right.
You know, they were watching your Twitch of the rally. Anyway, I just ran into that guy. I had a cigar with him a couple of days ago. So
that's
that was
awesome.
Pretty cool. So I found out who it was. Great
Love
guy.
It.
Let's go to Mike in Big Timber next up on the phone lines. Mike, what's going on?
I'm sorry, I had to laugh. I love Tim from Billings. That was a great idea. I think that's a good idea. But anyway, my call is about this ad for Tester from the Truth and Justice Fund. Is that what it's called, Aaron?
That's anything but that's what they call it. You can identify as anything these days.
Oh, my goodness. And you know, he grew up in Minnesota in some, you know, nice home. Boy, that's a real problem. And not to mention, they say that Tim Sheehy, he wants people to pay their own doctor bills. And that's a bad thing?
Well, they want to destroy all private health care coverage entirely. Yeah. No, it's crazy what Kamala Harris and John Tester are pushing right now.
Well, who is Truth and Justice Fund? Hester doesn't back these people or pay for this? All of a sudden they just come out on their own and do this?
Good question. Yeah, it's probably another one of these Chuck Schumer-backed super PAC, dark money super PACs. I forget who that one is exactly. I remember the Last Best Place PAC actually came from New York, came from Chuck Schumer. It wasn't even in Montana. But, yeah, you get all these phonies that are running these phony ads for John Tester. It's why you can't believe a couple of things I want to get David Noble's thoughts on. But he says, I got a couple of thoughts on what these callers have been talking about. Go for it, David.
So I was watching the Theo Von interview of Donald Trump, which that's my favorite interview that I've ever seen of Donald Trump. If folks haven't seen that, go on YouTube, Theo Von Donald Trump. But he was talking to him about healthcare and stuff, and Trump had mentioned how basically he had put in that executive order requiring hospitals to list their prices, and the idea being that, hey, if the hospitals actually list their prices, hey, you can go to one hospital and it says $600 for an MRI. The other hospital says, you know, $2,000 for an MRI. Right now we don't have that ability, And Trump said basically that Joe Biden completely did away with that. And then, of course, you know, she does want to ban all private health insurance. And people need to realize that if Kamala Harris gets in there and actually bans private health insurance and puts us on a single payer system, we're going to be ending up exactly like the Canadians and the UK, where it's long wait times, terrible service. You can never see a doctor. Oh, and by the way, I know people who live in Italy, and what they tell me is that, oh, yeah, we have quote unquote free healthcare in Italy. But if you actually want to get something done timely, you have to pay out of pocket yourself. That's how it works, folks.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. And in some ways, it's already happening. I mean, I did an interview in the 6 o'clock hour like earlier this week or last week with a guy who wrote a book about healthcare. And we were talking about the fact that in nearly half of all counties across the United States, nearly half of the counties in America don't have a cardiologist. And the one angle of that story that I didn't mention that I wanted to mention was, remember when they were pushing Obamacare, David? We have a right to health care. We have a right to... Okay, so we have a right to health care. Yeah, you have a right to get health care. But who are you going to force
right
to become a doctor to give you the health care that you have a right to? They think having a right to health care means they should get free stuff that you and I pay for. But then when you don't have any doctors to provide that health care, what are you going to do with your, I have a right to health care?
Well, right. My response to that always is, well, okay, well, actually, I actually do have a right to a gun. That actually is in the... So why don't we have the government pay for my gun?
Give me free guns.
I would love to have free guns. That's a right. But the more important thing is that, you know, they fundamentally misunderstand what a right is, just like they fundamentally misunderstand what freedom is. And last night, they've got this song, Freedom! They keep playing at the DNC. It's so cringe. My back snapped. My favorite saying now, as I got it from John Jackson, is my back snapped from all the cringe. But this freedom thing...
He's a big dancer, so his back snaps a lot, I guess. That's it.
But the freedom thing is ridiculous. Their whole idea of freedom is abortion. Or the freedom to get health care, or the freedom to force a doctor to perform work on you. That's not freedom.
But they don't support your freedom of speech. They don't support your Second Amendment freedoms. Basically, all of the freedoms that are actually listed in the Constitution, they attack and they want to destroy. But then they want to, and these guys were locking down the entire country. So don't lecture us about freedom.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get to the woke update of the week before we forget and start taking more great phone calls and more and going in a million different directions. So, David, Tim and Savage messaged me this headline yesterday. I didn't get a chance to read the story, but the headline alone, I was like, oh, brother, here we go. Oh, for Pete's sake. This is the same story you told me. You said, hey, I got a great woke update of the week, and it's this exact same story here.
Yeah.
Fire away, missiles away.
So this is a Fox News story published August 21st by Hannah Grossman. Biden-Harris, Department of Energy official, calls for clearing nuclear weapons as part of radical DEI agenda. Biden-Harris official says, the Harris tester official says, queer theory is also about rejecting the tenet that nuclear deterrence creates security and disarmament creates vulnerability. So what I'm interpreting that to mean is basically let's unilaterally get rid of our nukes. But the actual story is, a recent hire at the nuclear security wing of the Department of Energy has previously called for disarmament policies, which reduce or eliminate nukes, arguing that advancing queer theory was essential to the agenda as well as important to the national security. This person's name is Sneha Nair. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Had been appointed as a special assistant at the Nuclear Security Administration in February 24. She believes in eradicating, quote unquote, white supremacy in the nuclear field, as well as, quote, queering nuclear weapons as part of a DEI push that she believes is essential for deterring threats to nuclear energy facility in the U.S. And then I'll just quote her here and then I'll be done. Finally, she says, queer theory informs the struggle for nuclear justice and disarmament. Queer theory helps to shift the perception of nuclear weapons as instruments for security by telling the hidden stories of displacement, illness, and trauma caused by their production and testing. But we're the weird ones.
Yeah, yeah. I heard one of these latest, phony Democrat dark money attack ads against Tim Sheehy. They're doing the same thing that this Stolen Valor Tim Walz is doing. They called Tim Sheehy weird. It's like, oh, yeah, a Navy SEAL is weird, but John Tester voting to allow men into girls' bathrooms, that's not weird, according to these guys.
No,
I mean, it's crazy.
They call us everything that they are, whether it's weird. And then they want to support. It's amazing. Kamala Harris and John Tester are doing the exact same thing, which is running away from their own policies and coming out and saying, no, we don't support what we've supported for all these years. Kamala Harris is running away from every policy she's ever had. She believes in defunding the police, abolishing ICE, making me and you pay for health care for illegal aliens, giving illegal aliens citizenship. Tester's on board with all that. And yet, because it's 2024, they've all run away, and now Kamala Harris is running a campaign based on freedom, which Democrats have never supported, and John Tester is running a campaign based on securing the border. That's straight up gaslighting. They are gaslighting us. That's why. And then people always wonder, why do Democrats have such bad mental health? Well, if you've been gaslit by your own party for decades, yeah, you might have bad mental health.
So in this story, Biden-Harris Department of Energy official calls for not querying, let's do a query of all the nuclear weapons. No, she wants to queer nuclear weapons. Her idea of queering nuclear weapons, queer as in gay, is what she's suggesting here, not us, just she. I don't know if that's her pronouns or not, but a Department of Energy official calls for queering nuclear weapons, which basically, as he points out, is doing away with a key national defense tool here.
Right.
She is a special assistant at the National Nuclear Security Administration. She got appointed to that position. Why does somebody with these wacky types of beliefs, A, get appointed to that position, but B, probably even holds a security clearance? Why do we give these kind of crazy people access to national security clearances?
And it's not like it was a surprise, Aaron, because before she joined the Biden-Harris tester regime, she worked for, guess what? George Soros's Open Society Foundation. She's a George Soros acolyte taken directly from George Soros's Open Society Foundation and put directly into the power positions over our nuclear. Think about that. We got George Soros cronies controlling in power positions in our nuclear.
On top of that, the organization she worked for received millions of dollars from basically the country of Qatar, which hosts the Hamas terrorist leadership. Literally just the other day I had Kash Patel, who was the chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense. Kash Patel was on the show here talking about the importance of the U.S. Senate race here in Montana and electing Tim Sheehy. He was the Department of Justice liaison at Joint Special Operations Command. And so Kash Patel, very interesting national security background, but he laid out and spelled out all of these Biden-Harris appointees that were busted giving our nation's secrets to the terrorists in Tehran. And now this, I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Virginia in Lolo. Virginia, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
It's about Harris. I got a car from her, and they're picking on Donald Trump, and I don't like it. They're calling him a convicted felon, and the only one I think is a felon is Harris.
The people that should be convicted felons aren't even being prosecuted, but then the people that aren't committing illegal acts are the ones that are getting targeted by this Justice Department. Yeah, good point. David, your thought. Remember at the Trump rally, the convicted felon T-shirts, people loved the convicted felon T-shirts, because like I think that really exposed the deep state and the way our government's been weaponized against the American people.
My favorite thing to think about is to think about how these Democrats must feel to think that Donald Trump has a very good chance of becoming our next president. Because remember, Democrats, they thought that Trump wouldn't have they thought Trump would be in prison by now. They thought Trump would be in prison and that the GOP would have turned on Trump and everything else. So can you imagine what these Democrats must be thinking to facing the prospect of another Trump administration?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, and they love to put criminals, actual criminals, back out on the streets. They put rapists and murderers back out on the streets. But yet they want to put innocent people behind bars. Par for the course. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. They announced that there were three senators that did not attend the rally in Chicago, and John Tester was right there.
Yeah, he's chicken, isn't he?
Well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
The PAC money. That's what comes first for John Ted. The lobbyist cash. That's what comes first. Yeah. Yeah, David, you probably saw that Daily Wire story where they were talking about how, you know, John Tester is refusing to do interviews, even with like soft, puffy pieces with National Public Radio. And he's refusing to show up at the Democrat National Convention because he doesn't want Montanans to know where he stands. He's trying to hide his true beliefs from Montana. So that's why he's hiding from the DNC.
Well, he learned his lesson from Joe Biden. He learned that you can run a basement campaign. And I guess John Tester is running the basement campaign here, as far as I can tell.
He did let something slip, though. While Tim Sheehy is up there fighting fires, serving as an aerial firefighter, John Tester is slobbing around with celebrities. John Tester finally came out of hiding, and he popped up in Missoula at the Wilma Theater with a couple of his celebrity buddies. But he let something slip, David. In this piece by Holly Michaels, very biased report. She doesn't ask Tester any tough questions. At the Missoulian, John Tester said this when it comes to important races right now. He says, when it comes to the elections right now, mine is not the important one. It's the one at the top. There's a lot at stake here. There's democracy at stake. There's rural America at stake. There's how we treat one another at stake. There's a lot at stake. He said that his Senate race is not the most important race right now. It is the presidential race right now. What was he telling his liberal buddies in Missoula? You know, with these celebrities, electing Kamala Harris is the most important thing that needs to happen right now. But he doesn't want to say that publicly. In fact, later, his campaign had to basically retract and clarify what Tester himself said when the cameras were present.
I can't believe they actually came out and said, no, he doesn't. He does not endorse Kamala. He absolutely does not endorse Kamala. I mean, what an absurd thing for a Democrat Senate campaign. It's like, Tester, you don't support the Democrat Party. Why are you a Democrat then?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's because and the fact is they had to retract it. So Tester is saying this is the most important race in the country, the presidential race. But you're not willing to take a stand on what is the most important thing to ever face this country. And you're not willing to take a stand?
That's because in his mind, the most important thing is not actually that. It's him maintaining his own power
and wealth that he's acquired as a so-called public servant. All right, back after this.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. We've got everything from cleats to Sambas, Dunks, and more. Plus, the hottest looks from Nike, Jordan, and Adidas. Find your first day fits in-store or online at Dick's.com.
Fox News commentary.
Is RFK Jr. on the brink of dropping out and joining forces with Donald Trump? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unless some miracle happens, RFK Jr. has no path to the White House. That's likely why his running mate, Nicole Shanahan, is hinting at a potential exit from the race and possibly a team-up with Donald Trump. On the Tom Bellew podcast, Shanahan mentioned the two options the RFK Jr. campaign is looking at. One option is to stay in the race and form a new party, but she noted that path may lead to a Kamala presidency. So the other option is to walk away from the campaign and maybe join forces with Donald Trump. Shanahan admitted that she trusts the future of our country more under the leadership of Trump and J.D. Vance as opposed to Kamala and Tim Walz. RFK Jr. himself has made it clear he has no plans to endorse Kamala Harris and that the Democratic Party of today is unrecognizable to the one he was once a proud member of. An RFK Jr. endorsement of Donald Trump might not win the election, but it wouldn't hurt either. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Well, we never know what really is going to happen on Montana Talks because we keep the phone lines open for you. Plus, if there's big breaking news, sometimes we'll sneak on a guest or two. But here's the plan for Thursday's show. Open phones, anything and everything you want to talk about, and you get the chance to be heard all across the great state of Montana. That's what's coming up for Thursday. Friday, we've got an incredible guest who's going to join us, John Graves, the CEO of Million Voices.
AUDIEN hearing.com. Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. From 8 to 10, we're going to have the phone lines open. Let me just double-check my calendar. I don't think we've got anything scheduled unless we're missing something. Yeah, we've just got open phones for the next 2 hours, so that's going to be great. President Trump is talking about what he is going to do with our nation's military to get our military back on track. This is incredible. You got to hear what he had to say yesterday. I think it was in Asheboro, North Carolina. This is really good stuff, and I haven't even gotten to it yet. We'll save that for the 8 o'clock hour. David, anything else you want to get to here before we run out of time?
I'm not that great when you throw stuff at me. I don't have like any big list of stories here.
Counselor, you are on the witness stand right now. What do you mean you're not ready? No, I'm joking. No, that's good.
I got something to talk about actually. So I just got done recording a little behind-the-scenes video footage here in studio at Montana Talks.
Hey.
I'm uploading it to my YouTube video right now, or my YouTube channel right now. So if you folks want a little bit of behind-the-scenes video of Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks, you can check it out on my YouTube channel.
You don't need
here
to see that. You don't need to see. Yeah, nothing to see here.
We're all
folks.
Fans. We're all fans. You may not be comfortable with it, Aaron, but we're all fans. We all like.
I would have dressed up a little bit if I'd known I'd have been on. No, I wouldn't.
No, and in fact,
I still would have worn a T-shirt.
In fact, when I walked up to you at the AFP thing in downtown Bozeman, my chat, and then you said your thing. My Twitch chat was just going crazy with comments about fantastic delivery. Fantastic message.
Oh, that was fun. That was so cool when you popped up, because I went back and watched your Twitch TV when you joined us. We were doing our Americans for Prosperity Montana. They've paid for these events, and so we've been traveling the state, and we go talk about Bidenomics and how Joe Biden and John Tester and Kamala Harris are the reason you're paying more for groceries and restaurant bills are higher and everything. Oh, David, I gotta share this later today. So I'm going to be doing that same event you saw downtown Bozeman right in front of Plonk and JW Heist. we're going to be doing a Bidenomics event in Big Sandy, Montana.
Nice.
This weekend we'll be in Big Sandy, Montana.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that video of all the Big Sandy neighbors that Sheehy tweeted out, where all the Big Sandy people are in a big crowd?
They
of
all love Tim Sheehy.
They all want Tester out.
They want Tester. The people that know John Tester the most want him out. You know, some business owners are not very. I'll just say they're very scared. They're very timid. And you know, when they see government being weaponized against businesses, so even some business owners that might lean conservative, they're afraid to allow certain types of events to take place at their establishments. And I totally respect it. Like, hey, I never want to force this stuff on anybody. I get it, right? But what's interesting to me is we have a business in Big Sandy that says, yeah, come on, do your event here. I said, so we are going to be critical of John Tester's policies. Yeah, set up there, no problem. You know,
nice.
And that's in Big Sandy, which is not the biggest town out there. But yeah, they
cool.
It's
so
very
when
clear.
Are you doing, when are you going to be doing that?
That'll be Saturday afternoon before the Fusion Fights in Haver. We'll be at the Fusion Fights in Haver. We're going to be at the hardware store in – no. The grocery store, the IGA grocery store around noon on Saturday. Then we'll be at the Mint in Big Sandy. Prime rib night too, man. If I didn't have to run off to the Fusion Fights, I would stick around a lot longer. And then the Fusion Fights will be in Haver. And then the next morning we'll be at Char's, which is a real popular breakfast spot in Haver as well. So it's going to be a busy weekend, but it's going to be a good time.
That's awesome.
So
great.
Yeah, so spread the word to your friends in the Haver AO and the Big Sandia area of operations. But yeah, it just shows that the people who really know this guy they don't like his policies. I don't know if they like him or don't like him, but they certainly don't like his policies. And that's really what it comes down to, is policies.
Well, and that's one. Okay, so my takeaway from the DNC these last couple of nights, there's no policy at all. The DNC has no policy. All it is a bunch of race cards and then saying that we care about you, but the Republicans don't care about you. It's all this emotional stuff. It's amazing. I've been watching the DNC. Zero policy. Zero policy.
It's like they're acting like the last 3 years never even happened. They're acting like Donald Trump is still the president. Yep. It's like, you guys realize you're in charge right now, right? Yeah, it's crazy. You could call it a whitewashing almost. David, great to see you.